Good afternoon, everyone. This is Steve Gray, Director of Governmental Affairs for the Mississippi Association of Supervisors. Today, I'm going to provide a special legislative update for the Central Planning and Development District. We understand that this is a busy time and a serious time for our counties, our state, our country, and our world as we deal with this COVID-19 pandemic. Due to the seriousness of this health situation, today's 10:30 Central Planning and Development District regional conference call lacked significant participation. Therefore, MAS wanted to take a brief moment to accommodate our extremely busy members with this legislative update recording as it pertains to the status of the state legislative session prior to the joint resolution to suspend the 2020 session. In addition, I will also touch very briefly on the federal side and identify information that our federal arm is providing to our office. So I'll go ahead and jump right into it. So prior to the joint resolution to suspend the session, we were literally at the halfway mark of the session. This is the part for the time of the session where members and leadership begins to focus more on revenue bills and appropriation bills. We were fortunate as an association to have a lot of general bills moving through the process. And from a positive standpoint, we had quite a bit of information that's actually passed from chamber to chamber. And there were, if you can recall, about two major items that we wanted to alarm the membership about. One in particular could benefit if we can massage it the way that it can benefit counties. And the other is more as a disclaimer to let you know that this could possibly have a negative impact to your county if you fall under the eligible circumstances. And I'll get into that. But let's focus on the positive bills first. So the first issue or the first bill that we had going and actually going both ways dealt with reverse auction, House Bill 407. This particular version of reverse auction would actually allow the counties as well as municipalities to decide whether or not if reverse auction was in their best interest or not. This bill has passed the House and headed to the Senate chamber. And then the Senate had its version, Senate Bill 2215. This particular version of the reverse auction process only basically eliminates the term bid process and the process that involves E-rate contracts. So both bills can have an impact back to local government that can provide relief. So that's a positive step going forward. We saw that as a positive step. It shows that both chambers want to do something to help provide relief as it pertains to that particular issue. Another issue deals with the First Responders Health and Safety Act. This is House Bill 982. If you recall, back last year in 2019, there was a bill that was passed that created the First Responders Health and Safety Act. What this bill did, basically, it mandated counties and cities to provide a defined benefit cancer policy to what the law defined as first responders, which were volunteer firefighters, professional firefighters, and law enforcement that were certified by the Board of Law Enforcement Standards and Training. The way the law was written, that cities and counties had to provide and show that they're providing this. They had to provide it by year 2021 and show that they're providing it by year 2022. And what this bill does, it actually provides funding to help assist cities and counties. What it does is takes a portion of the wind pool revenue regarding surplus lines for insurance and divert it into a fund that's created that can help offset some of the costs for counties and cities. In addition, this law also takes a portion of that funding and creates a long-term method to provide for the Rural Fire Truck Program. So two things are being addressed at once. You got the Rural Fire Truck Program being taken care of almost perpetuity with a residual funding source. Then you got money to help you with the defined benefit cancer policy for the First Responders Health and Safety Act. So this is a powerful bill that has a positive impact back to counties. This is House Bill 982. And this bill has actually passed the House chamber and headed to the Senate. So that's another major positive issue going forward. Another issue that was a top priority issue that we talked about at our midwinter conference dealt with inmate medical costs. We actually got two bills to help extend the repealer that mandates that counties shall not pay any more than a Medicaid reimbursement rate. That's House Bill 685 and Senate Bill 2279. Both bills have passed both chambers with no nay votes. So that's pretty strong. And because of programs and providers that are out there to help counties mitigate these hospital or medical costs down to the Medicaid reimbursement rate, a lot of money has been saved across the state. MAS, we provide a program with the Inmate Cost Containment Program, and we've saved roughly $28 million across the state. So this is a cost-saving measure that we need to extend in terms of the repealer. So that's very important to counties. It's cost savings. It's actually going both ways. So that's positive. The next two positive issues will really deal or encompass the issue of infrastructure. So the first one is House Bill 379. If you recall, during our midwinter conference, I really hit on this issue of the Local Systems Bridge Program having a gap that needed to be filled, because when the Mississippi Infrastructure Modernization Act was passed in terms of diversion of the use tax, 5% of the use tax in that law was set aside to provide money for the Local Systems Bridge Program, but that money is going to be phased in over a four-year period. So while that money is phasing in, a gap is being created. What 379 does, it creates a way to fill the gap as it continues to be phased in. So what the law does, it allows for $1 million of the total use fund to go into the Local Systems Bridge Program beginning August 15th of 2020, and it will go into the LSBP program every single month until the year July 2022. And that is established to fill the gap as the money continues to be ramped up to sustain the LSBP program from here on out. So this is a very important bill. We want county projects to continue to be moved throughout the course of building up money for the LSBP program with the use tax diversion. As we continue to get ramped up for that, this will provide significant relief in terms of filling that gap. So this is very important. We've had a strong vote out of the House. It's now headed to the Senate. We would need strong consideration in making sure that this particular measure can get to the governor's desk and be signed into law. The other issue pertaining to infrastructure deals with bond flexibility. Back within the code section that addresses the use tax diversion, there was an issue pertaining to municipalities that needed to be revisited and looked at. But while the membership of our legislature were revisiting that, they added language to the code that would allow counties and cities to pledge up to 75% of the anticipated revenue from the use tax to help pay down bonded indebtedness for major bond projects that a county or a city may want to implement that could last for a 10-year period. So they could pledge up to 75% within a 10-year time span based on the anticipated revenues that they're going to receive from the use tax diversion. This creates flexibility in bonding. If a county or a city wanted to do a major bond project as it pertains to infrastructure, they can use the anticipated revenues to structure the bond in terms of paying down the bonded indebtedness. So those issues that I just mentioned, as it pertains to reverse auction, as it pertains to the inmate medical costs, LSBP, and bond flexibilities are major positive issues going forward for counties right now at the Capitol. Now, there are other issues that impact counties in a positive way, but these were the major ones that are moved through the process. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there were two measures that we need to address that could possibly have a negative impact, but one in particular could also benefit. And I'll start with that one. That's Senate Bill 2746. Quite often, I've talked about the need for 911 funding, and we've year after year tried to address that. And this is actually an opportunity to try to address it. This is basically an overhaul of the code section that addresses E911. This bill does a number of things. Right now, we know that when it comes to mobile revenue that's collected as it pertains to the surcharge, it has to go through what is called the Commercial Mobile Radio Service Board, which is the CMRS board. This bill will dissolve that board and create a new authority that will be held under the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency, or MEMA. And also what this bill does, it actually adds an additional fee on top of the surcharge that's being charged right now. So currently you have $1 for landline residential, $2 for commercial landline. You have $1 for wireless providers. You have another $1 for the prepaid. And then you have another $1 for VOIP, Voice over Internet Protocol. Each one of these would get $1 increase. All the money that comes into counties would actually go under this new authority. This new authority would have a board of governance. Of that board of governance, the board is a 13-member board, whereas four members will not represent local government, but the rest will. The Mississippi Association of Supervisors will have an opportunity to make recommendations, two recommendations to this authority or to this board. One of the things in the laws that we would like to see is that our recommendation be considered as a shall and not a may. We would like to see it mandated to ensure that we have an opportunity to really be able to place someone in a position that can, that has an understanding of how 911 funding works in the counties. So we would definitely appreciate trying to work that angle. That's something that we think that needs to be addressed. Also, something that needs to be noted is that prior to this law, there are streams of revenue that comes directly to the county that does not have a third party intervening. And that is with landline as it pertains to both commercial and residential. When it comes to those landlines, those both come directly to the counties, and voice over internet protocol, VOIP, that comes directly to the counties. Only the wireless has a third party to intervene to distribute money to the counties and then hold money for other purposes. But what this law does, it will capture all the money and distribute it from this particular board. Currently, this bill has a reverse repealer, meaning that the goal is to try to send it to conference for further discussion and analyzation. This bill has passed the Senate already. It's headed to the House. It is very important for counties to talk with their 911 directors and coordinators regarding this law. They can contact our office and get a more detailed breakdown of this law and understanding on what it does. But this is an opportunity to address a particular fund that we're seeing counties supplement going forward. So if it can provide relief to county government and more money to counties regarding 911, we definitely want to have a strong interest in this. The final item as it pertains to a possible negative impact to county government is House Bill 229. This bill creates the Mississippi Accountability and Transparency Act of 2020. What it does, this law states by July of 2021, each county with a population of 20,000 or more shall be required to create and maintain an accountability and transparency website. You can use your current website if you already have those technological capabilities, but the goal is to provide financial reports, financial audits, budgets, and other documents as it pertains to the fiscal operation of counties. We often talked about the unknown in terms of how much this could cost counties that are not exempt from this law based on a population threshold. It could be very expensive as it pertains to maintaining this information on the database. We're not sure. We have a number of unknowns. We've shared that information. This bill has passed the House and is headed to the Senate chamber. It's very important for you to talk to your senators about this law as it goes forward. We've seen bills like this before to make it out of a chamber, but it never completed the process. This could happen this year. We're not sure, but we need people to talk about it and get engaged on the issue if it's going to impact your county in a negative manner. So that's very important going forward. That would pretty much sum it up in terms of where we are at the current state of the legislative session prior to the suspension. As I mentioned earlier, this would be the time we begin to look at revenue bills at the halfway mark, things such as the homestead exemption reimbursement that will come through the Department of Revenue and their appropriation, things such as the BCAP program, the Beaver Control Assistance Program, which comes through the Department of Ag and Commerce, and other appropriation and bond items that the legislator typically looks at. But now that we're at a standstill, we will have to wait and see as we go forward. I'll transition over to the federal. Of course, there's been a lot in the news about the recent package that passed in House Resolution 748, or the CARES Act. Prior to that, there was a bill that passed as it pertains to federal legislation, and that was House Resolution 6201. This particular bill was called the Family First Coronavirus Response Act. That measure pretty much dealt mostly with issues as it pertains to FMLA, or the Family Medical Leave Act, in terms of the policy side of it. It addressed issues regarding COVID-19 testing, tax credits, emergency paid leave, nutrition. But the big money item really came in House Resolution 748, the second version of it. That was the first version that fell, and it came back and renegotiated and passed the third version, which is the CARES Act. This particular bill contains most of the financial assistance that states and locals were looking at. It must be duly noted that local government really did not get the attention that was anticipated in that particular bill. We know that NACO, our national arm, the National Association of County Officials, are working aggressively to try to put together a fourth package in terms of a stimulus package. One key thing to remember in the previous package in 748, in section 2103, it deals with the state stabilization fund. This is the money that local governments are looking at, around $150 billion, whereas a minimum of about $1.2 billion would come to each state in terms of the minimum that they'll receive. But there are other criteria that will be based in terms of any more money beyond that. tax credits and reimbursement issues that other local governments are looking at across the nation. We're assuming that that's something that will be addressed in the fourth package. We're also told if there's a fourth package, it's going to focus heavily on infrastructure in terms of how we view infrastructure. In the recent package in 748, in terms of infrastructure, the main thing that was addressed was mainly aviation and public transit. But in terms of infrastructure, as we see it, pertaining to roads, bridges, underground utilities for municipalities and things of that nature, we're told that that's going to be heavily focused upon as the members of Congress continue to receive pressure and information to release another package. We highly encourage members to go to NACO's website, and there's a breakdown of this law and how it works. And you can look at different sections in terms of it. Visit their site, which is www.naco.org, and you can definitely pull that information. At this point, I'll transition out of the update, and I'll leave my cell phone number if there are any concerns or anyone wants to speak about any issue in particular. My cell number is 601-218-5720. That's 601-218-5720. I hope this message finds you well. Please take care and God bless. Thank you.